Hello again, and welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. We're always actively involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of rare coins and precious metals. We like to help people build portfolios investment-wise and savings, and we call it wealth and capital preservation. We've been doing it quite a while. We like to think we're pretty experienced at it, and we do take it serious, and we appreciate it when we can help people out. The financial world is very, very interesting right now. I don't even know really where to begin. I think it's important to understand there's so much whirling around us right now. It literally is a whirlwind. I mean, when you go into the whole economic aspect of what's happening, being a bullet brain, I guess, which I'd call myself. I think it was last night. I was just sitting on the couch watching TV, and I was doing some work on the computer, that's what I do. I multitask. I need like three things going at the same time. It's just the way I do, and I work too long and too hard, and sometimes you hear me after I haven't slept for a day and a half just because there's so much to do around here. But I was sitting there last night thinking, we have interest rates at near pretty much zero. The interest rates now are the lowest they've ever been. And that's the Fed, that's the whole fiat currency thing coming down. I mean, there is nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. You've got Trump, honestly, spending like crazy. Frankly, disappointing me. Yeah, I agree. No matter what he does, it's never going to be right. And no matter what he does, he's always going to have a battle. So why not just have the battle? This thing is so mind-boggling. I mean, I was just reading this article on Lou Rockwell or something about the ineffectiveness of masks. And it says, the face mask placebo, and it has this massive outbreak of public stupidity as masses fearfully wear ineffective face masks in need to relieve their COVID-19 induced anxiety. Health authorities admit face masks don't halt infectivity, but the fearful masses need something to handle public anxiety. Even the New England Journal of Medicine recently published a scientific study admitting the futility of wearing face masks to protect against COVID-19 coronavirus, saying that it is in no way effective over the long haul. There are so many sources of potential exposure, and you can carry it on you, and you get home, and you take your mask off. I mean, this, folks, I'm just telling you, I'm not a believer in this stuff, okay? But you got your mask on. How do you take it off? How do you put it on? Oh, wait a minute. You just touched your mask, you know? And then you go into these circles. I was out, you know, before I came into work today, out running some errands and watching these people out in, you know, a parking lot, mingling, you know, everything's fine, talking to each other, shaking hands, hugging. And then as soon as they walk into this business, oh, no. You better put your mask on. And now all of a sudden, we're in lockstep safety. It's like, folks, it's just all a farce. But the concern that it gives me is this. It's another violation of your personal space. I mean, make you cover up your face, cover up your mouth, you know, wear this goofy, stupid thing. You go out and do some research. Uh-oh, it doesn't work. It's all a big lie. Well, we need to make those fearful, comfortable. And I do know, I have noticed that no matter which side of the fence people are on politically, and with all due respect, I've noticed that the older folk, tend to be a lot more concerned. I am telling you, put your fears to ease. And I know the deal. I've talked to people. There's a lot going on with this COVID thing. This weekend, I ran into a situation with a gentleman whom I will refuse to name, who sold a home in a certain place, and this is just observational through myself and others, and I'm not involved in this transaction, but he's trying to claim he has COVID-19 to back out of a transaction, to back out. So he's being threatened to get sued, and the guy's all ticked off, and then he starts this. I was talking to the guy, and again, I have no skin in the game. I just tripped over this situation. And there's some people involved that are, high bore real estate people and stuff that I know well. And when I was talking to this guy, his story just didn't jive. And I'm like, and then he goes, there's all these things, I used to watch that show Lie to Me. Back in the 90s, they had that FBI or CIA interrogator, and they would tell, they'd have a group of like 15 or 16 people come out and sit on the bleachers, and they'd tell one of them a lie. So in other words, one of the people would have a lie that he or she was to tell this gal who was this expert at reading people and interrogating them or whatever. I mean, she would spot these people oftentimes walking to the bleachers. She'd be like, Steve, tell me about this. I mean, she could show, and after each show, she'd go back and show you how they gave, what their tell was. We have tons of tells, okay? A tell is like if a guy plays poker, and he learns how to watch his opponents. Their tone changes, their eyebrow lifts, or they hold their cards different when they get a good hand versus a bad hand, or whatever. There's a whole bunch of tells. They'll come in strong, or when they're bluffing, they come in super strong or, whatever. I don't know. I'm no expert at that stuff. But anyway, watching this guy this weekend, he changes it. I said, are you sick? Are you really sick? You betcha I am. And instead of continuing on that topic, he immediately shifts the subject over. I've lost 5 friends to this. I'm like, you have? Yeah, you've had 5 friends die from COVID? Well, you're darn right, and on and on. So now the topic's off of him, and he tries to keep it over there. And, that's all part of, living life in the world, I guess. But he was diverting and all this stuff. The problem is, because of HIPAA laws, apparently they can't make him prove whether or not he has COVID. I've actually heard this in another situation. Well, others, plural. I know of one where a guy has taken, 3 weeks off of work at one. That was a while ago, claiming he had COVID, which he did not, so he could collect the unemployment. And, on and on this stuff goes. We have got such a meltdown in the system, folks. Here you go. Mr. Gloom and Doom, here we are. But no, I mean, it's so challenging. I mean, these are the most challenging times. And it's like they come out with the first closure. Oh, we're going to release on this date or whatever you call it, lift the ban or whatever you call it, Anyway. And then they come back with another one. And we happen to be in a state with an absolute radical. And it's interesting now. We're getting into this new liberal Nazism where they're putting the hammer down. You will believe like me. You will think like me. You will do what I say, when I say, and how I say it, or you will be destroyed. And these people are out there. They're destroying lives. They're destroying property. You go back to gosh, oh, was it? I can't remember the university when Reagan was governor before he became president. And they had a park, or what the kids claimed was a park, that they were turning into a parking lot. And they said, if anything happens to that park, they're going to destroy the university. Well, they started working on it, and here came the protesters and the students. Ronald Reagan, he sent out the police first. The people ensued into a massive, violent outbreak. So he brought in the National Guard. It didn't end pretty. They were doing buckshot and whatever else. One person was killed and 128 injured. And, oh, the media was going wild. But you know what? He had the authority and he had the strength and the confidence and the courage to just keep his eyes on true north. And, folks, that's what we have to do. We have to have our spiritual compass. I mean, you call it spiritual, call it whatever you want. And the reason I say that is obviously spiritual is the best insight there is. But there's people out there that don't share our faith. It doesn't mean they're not our partners or team members, and it doesn't mean that they can't see the truth. The truth is the truth. And the thing that I like, there's one truth. That doesn't mean that we're all right if we think we are, because there's truths based on the amount of content or information that you currently possess. But Reagan stood strong, and it got ugly. But you know what happens next time around? It don't happen again. If he says, get out, folks, that's the way it's got to be. We can't have people that literally selectively choose. That's the problem. This has to be a country of law and order. You know, the truth is these liberals will say, oh, I believe in law and order. Okay, do you think that we should be paying for the food and housing and schooling and medicine and medical care for all these illegal aliens? And they'll get all weird on you. And they won't answer the question. What? I mean, it's almost like they have a fiscal misconception of where money comes from or what. I don't even know. I mean, because the bottom line is, if we're a land of law and order, folks, you know, law and order is obviously authored by God, our creator. But law and order leads to peace and through justice, I guess. Peace and justice, if you will. Our system's set up to be right. Our humanity breaks it. And so things that seem to make sense, we have to be careful of. I've discussed capital punishment. There's a lot of humanity that goes into that stuff. And I know people, I've heard people on, you know, we ought to take all these guys that are doing, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just take them out in the back 40 and shoot them all. Okay? And they're like, that's the way the West was won. That is vigilante justice. Well, there's a time and a place for that. I'm that guy who'd probably be leading the posse. But we have to respect and honor justice. But we got to respect and honor the law. We've got to follow and obey the law. The law. Okay? That doesn't mean when governors come up with whack job mandates about putting an unspecified piece of cloth over your face. My wife ordered some of these things off Amazon at first. We're not big fans of this, but she ordered these, you know, black, cool looking, whatever. We get them. You could not push air through this piece of cloth for the life of you. They're like very tight knit cloth, you know, preventing. Yeah, you can't breathe through it. You might as well just put a big old piece of plastic over your mouth. And they're selling them as masks. I mean, all that stuff. And when you get into the particulars of the mask thing, it makes no sense. It really doesn't work. You watch people's behavior when the mask's on and the mask's off, and what are they touching and how are they handling things? Because you know what? Deep down, people don't, they're not that worried. And I was going to say a minute ago, about the whole, you know, everybody I was talking about, that guy that's trying to back out of the real estate deal. I've lost five friends to this. And I've had people say, well, I know a guy. I know a guy. My boss's friend has it, and he's so sick. I heard this a while ago. And then I talked to the guy, and I was like, oh, were you tested? Oh, no, but, you know I've got it. I got all the symptoms. Yeah, here we go. And the guy has who knows what. And you have to understand the difference between being sick from COVID and being sick with COVID. And you have to understand the fact that there's 223 different strains with additional substrains. And the vast majority of those, we've all experienced. They've been around for a long, long time. And I don't know why, you know, that I don't know why this thing's going so wacky. I don't know why they're so afraid of the real numbers. Yeah, I do. It's all about the election, folks. I'm getting more convinced of this. I mean, it's so huge and so profound. We're going to have the single largest, well, we've already done it, but we're going to double down on it, I guess, the single largest wealth redistribution in the history of the world, not just by dollars, but by proportion, by, you know, percentages, as far as the percentage of our deficit. I mean, we're, you know, Trump pulled the last couple trillion somehow out of the treasury. People don't realize that. He is hiding it from the actual deficit numbers. I won't get into all the reasoning behind that. Here, let's pop over here. What about this little scandal of no pocket change? Oh, shortage of coins. Folks, do you even understand how many coins have been minted? Do you know that every single... They started making the state quarters, as an example... They started making the state quarters back in 1999, okay? And then, you know, we've had state quarters and state parks and territories and, you know, on you go. So you've got basically 21 years of between five and six quarters a year, okay? So just say 100 and some quarters minimum. Not counting proofs and business and mint sets and all this other hoopy doop. Okay, so you've got 100 and some quarters with mintages. Okay, there's two mint marks for each quarter minimum. There's actually four, but again, I'll leave proofs out of it. Over a billion per mint mark. So you got 21 years, say 5.5 quarters a year average. Whatever that is, say 100, just say 110 quarters, two mint marks, P and D. That's 220 quarters at over a billion. And I mean well over a billion each. So now you've got over 220 billion statehood quarters. That's just one coin. And the mintages on pennies are like tens of billions a year. There is no shortage of coins. The Fed hoards it all up. People hoard them up. They make enough coins every year so every business has tons. Every person's closet has a pile. Every bank is loaded to the, you know, hilt. People's pockets are full. Coins are getting destroyed all the time. And there's more than enough. And you may not know what I'm talking about, but they started this, oh, there's a shortage of coins. This is the new thing. Why would they do that? Well, now you got this, a few different games going on. Well, people say you got to pay the exact change. Or we can't take your change because we don't have change to give. But go ahead and use that little plastic thing. Cashless society. This, folks, has been the booster shot. This COVID thing has been the booster shot for every humanistic and socialistic and Marxist fantasy. They are railroading us. And I'm telling you, Trump, honestly, the guy, I don't know if he's not getting proper coverage. I don't know. I think he really is between a rock and a hard place because they put you out there, you have to cater to the masses. I know from firsthand people I've spoken to who've been in the Oval Office more than once per person, and they've said, trust me, Trump has so much more information that he goes by, that he makes decisions from, than anyone is aware of. That, I mean, he basically has really good intel. He's also got all of your propaganda coming in. He's letting it all come in. And he never lets people know where he stands, and he ticks some of these people off, but he's apparently pretty good at pleasing people like the Fauci, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the National Institute of Health Director of Science of Immunology, Virology, and Guru of All, and Master of All Citizens. You know, they were talking about giving him Time's Sexiest Man of the Year. He's in his 70s, but how sexy to watch a man talk about a virus. Man, that's got to be attractive to the ladies. I just will say that I must not understand women that well if I think that that is one of your pinnacle attractions towards a man. And the fact that he's liberal and he's been involved with this insanity going back to AIDS. He's been in the middle. He's been the catalyst, if you will. He's been the mascot, the minion, who has helped drive these massive pushes towards vaccinations and ultimately getting their hands around your neck to control you. Can you imagine? Contact tracing. We got to know everywhere you've been. I talked to a gal the other day, actually two of them, who were kind of mindlessly going through these motions, filling out a form in a certain eating establishment I was in. And I kind of thought I knew what I heard, and I walked up. I go, what you ladies doing? Oh, we got to fill all this out. For who? Well, they show me. It's the Washington Department of Health and the CDC and blah, blah, blah. What is it? They're going through a form showing all these places they've been in the last 2 weeks, all the people they've been near. Apparently, they were supposedly exposed. Oh, they got tested and came back negative, but still. They were filling all this stuff out because they had to know who's been. I mean, it just went on and on. They're giving up all their information. They're writing down all their friends and relatives' phone numbers and addresses and where they were. And, you know, folks, if they get you conditioned to doing that, oh, boy, that's a pain. That's what these gals said. They go, this is a hassle. I said, don't do it. Oh, I have to. What if you don't? I don't know. But they told me I have to. I said, I wouldn't do it. You could end up, because what happens next is they go, people go, that is brutal filling all that. It took me hours. And they go, well, you know what? Why don't you just get this little app on your phone, turn it on. It'll track everywhere you're at. It'll let us know how close you are to different people. And then later on, if we find out somebody has something that we decide to put a little happy label on, because now you're conditioned, we can come and shut your world down, folks. That's another reason we don't have any more change. We don't want paper money. We want everything on the cashless system. I am telling you, this is very interesting stuff. You know, it talks about in Revelation, the mark of the beast. Everyone's aware of it. It's real interesting, isn't it? They're the mark of the beast. Everyone's aware of it. People I talk to that are and are not believers, they're aware of it. But then there's people that they're aware of it, but they poo-poo it. And they're not bright enough to say, how did this document that got written 2,000 years ago describe these things in such great detail, and all of a sudden now we're getting this technology that we can implement this thing. And we've got Bill Gates. I have a feller that I know who worked for him for many, many, many moons and retired worth, you can imagine. And he said he picked this hobby up a long time ago. He had lots of money, and it started out with him going to third world countries and helping out, you know, with malaria and all this. And then all of a sudden, and they said, my wife and I were at Barra de Navidad in Mexico years ago. It's a private, it's a property that's owned by, there's a place called the Grand Bay Hotel, and it's about 50 miles north of Manzanilla. And we were going there before 9/11 and then afterwards some, but it was cheap and nice. And it's owned by the gentleman who owned, I don't know if he sold it, but I don't think he did, because there's a 1,200-acre private island, and he put $350 million just into the hotel, and it was empty all the time, and the price was right, and it was gorgeous. It was like a French villa. It was the most phenomenal everything, and it was his little hideaway getaway. One of the last times we went there, I mean, it was just empty, and the people there would, you know, upgrade us to these beautiful suites, and we'd just tip everybody, and they'd cry when we'd leave, and it was just that way. And we were there. So then right across, you take a little aqua taxi from this big 1,200-acre island, which has a little bridge to it. It's not like out in the middle of the ocean. And it's the longest. Barra de Navidad is like the longest unhindered beach on the west Pacific side of Mexico. And so we'd go walk the beach down there and go through the little towns and have dinner and all that. Well, we were there one night. Bill Gates was there. His yacht was so big. This place has a mammoth, and I mean mammoth marina. The owner of this place, who owns, like I said, Guadalajara newspaper and Bank of New Mexico and all this back at the time, he was worth billions and billions. And his house alone was near this, and it looked like a hotel in and of itself. So he was letting Bill Gates stay in his hotel house. And Bill Gates' yacht was so massive it wouldn't fit in the marina. And trust me, there are mega, mega yachts in this marina. Well, apparently, right, we were going around during the day, the night before or day before, afternoon, whatever. Bill Gates and Melinda had gone through, and I believe it was the state of Nayarit, and they had basically gone around and given grants just to these, to their, they went and met the head of their school system or whatever, and they just said, free computers, free software, free support, free service for the whole state of Nayarit. Nayarit, you know, Mexico has states like we do, but that's about where my comprehension of Mexican government comes to an end, so I won't say much else. So these people were just elated. They were jacked. Bill Gates was the king, the almighty. So my wife and I are walking through, and we walk into this one place. They're having this celebration. Hey, what's the deal? Oh, they tell us about Bill Gates giving all this money to the kids and what a great guy he is. And we go in, and they're giving us platters of the most amazing food for free. They're just celebrating him. They're loving it, right? This is what he got into because he was doing good, you know? But then everything would funnel through Microsoft, and he's down in Mexico, and who even knows what he knows? There's might be people coming up in that school system that he wants future control over. I don't even know. Doesn't matter. But that's how it all started. And then he's like, that's chump change to him. Well, then this friend of mine said he started getting into medicine. He started trying to buy medical supplies and all these things that, you know, would help these third world countries out. And apparently that wasn't just enough. It wasn't giving him enough control and enough power. And then he started to get into immunizations and vaccinations. And he got obsessed, apparently obsessed, with controlling world population. This is the Al Gore surprise, you know, the Inconvenient Truth series or video that he put out that everybody, the Earth, folks, we were supposed to be underwater right now, 2012. Al Gore said, that's it. You ever notice the liberals they always say we're going to all going to die. You remember Paul Ryan when he was running for president with Mr. Romney? You know, they had a picture of him, a false, whatever, caricature cartoon, or not cartoon, commercial, might as well be, of him pushing grandma over the cliff in a wheelchair. Because by golly, those terrible Republicans, they don't care about anybody. And Nancy Pelosi would come out and say, if you pass this Republican bill, it's going to cost millions of lives. The Republicans just want to kill everybody, and they want to burn the earth, and they want to spoil all the water. And I mean, all these things, it's always the same. It's, you know, fear and lies, and then promises, false promises. How free is the free stuff that politicians promise you? Nothing's free. Folks, if you go through Bernie Sanders and even sleepy Joe Biden, crazy Joe Biden, whatever he is, none of these things, they promise things that they could never execute because there's not enough money in the world. Then when they get in office, they do token gestures where they start these programs or a program that looks similar to another program that they said they do or whatever it may be. And they get the ball rolling, and it basically is they're loaded packages. And what do I mean by that? Why do you think Nancy Pelosi just lost her marbles when Trump came out with his supposed first bailout? COVID bailout, that is. Why do you think she freaked out? And then she had to rewrite the whole bill and put all kinds of rubbish in it. You know how much garbage is in there? All these irrelevancies, everything. They're using it as their whack out lefty socialistic implementation program. Everything. Never let a good crisis go to waste, as they say. So what's her motivation? Obviously votes and power, and then they begin to believe their lies, but mostly they end up on the take. There is so much. I know a gentleman, I haven't spoken to him for a while, who has been involved. He's one of the largest metal movers in the world, and he's well connected in D.C., and without getting too much in depth, back in the day, he was telling me, you know, with the Bushes, and he never said the names, but it was pretty obvious who he was talking about. They move hundreds of millions of dollars in precious metals around between LLCs, which are privately held corporations. This is a lot how these people transfer their wealth among each other, or pay each other off, or bribe each other. Or, you know, when someone's president and they put through, the prescription drug bill, and Pfizer and Merck give them honorary board member positions that essentially give them enormous stock options. And the bill cost us $385 billion a year for 10 years. Well, you know, the individual who did that, Mr. George Bush, you know, he gets these honorary positions, and certain money gets exchanged and traded under the radar via hard assets. It's a fact. There's just no debating it. But, you know, they belong to these LLCs, and they, you know, there's so many different ways you can circumvent that stuff. And, you know, no president or a member of Congress, after going into office, has ever really been audited. Trump is claiming that he's being audited, and he probably was. But in all honesty, if the Dems would leave him alone, after becoming president, they really do need to put that on hold. The Supreme Court just issued a decision that basically said that the president you know, can be subpoenaed by state courts. I mean, that is just absurd. That's a complete violation of what they call the Supremacy Clause. I mean, you think about it. I mean, we can't forget, what does it mean to be the President of the United States of America? At this point in time, not much. No, I'm kidding. But what it means is you're the most powerful man in the world, whether people like it or not. Should one of your little states, not that there's any demeaning spirit there, but should one of the states of the United States be able to drag the President of the United States through court hearings? Of course not. You have to have a supremacy clause. When somebody like that gets elected, we have to give them a certain level of dignity and respect and honor. We have to. I don't care if you agree with them or not. I mean, there's got to be a certain level of honor and respect. He's got executive privilege. I will say Obama played his cards and chips a little bit smarter than Trump because he was a supposed constitutional attorney. He was claiming, you know, presidential, what is it, authority. There's a word for it, you know, like presidential privilege or whatever during the Fast and Furious, where he's like saying, no, I have a right to keep that secret. It jeopardizes other investigations, and I don't have to give it up. And he's smart. That's right. It ticked everybody off. It's done unethically. Unquestionably unethically, but you got to give that kind of authority to people. If you don't trust them with it, our system is set up for limited patterns or limited bouts, excuse me, govern, you know, times to govern, limited terms. I was looking for a better word than that, didn't find one. And that's one of the safety aspects of this. And then they start this, oh, if Trump loses, he's not going to leave office and all these things. And it's like, we are really not respecting the position of president. So I've got always a lot on my mind, but I think, interesting, just saw here, President Trump tweeted a rare instance of himself wearing a mask. Okay, well, good for him. If he feels good about it, then more power to him. Here we go. We've got this lockdown 2.0. This new wave of lockdowns is, according to a lot of experts, ensuring that we remain in an economic depression at least through 2020. So they start this other lockdowns. And that's, you know, it's just sabotaging our economy. You know, according to some statistics, the first wave of lockdowns resulted in the permanent closure. Folks, you got to listen to this. Of over 100,000 U.S. businesses. Huge lines at food banks all around the nation. The loss of tens of millions of jobs. There's all kinds of statistics out there. I mean, this is a big deal. So needless to say, this new wave of lockdowns is just, it's designed to just hit the juggler. It is designed to take us down. This, and we need to view it this way. This COVID thing, like I was saying earlier, you know somebody who knows somebody who knew somebody who died. You don't know. It's just not like that. People are not dying from it. They may supposedly die with it, but you don't know because all the reporting has been completely fabricated and falsified. They hide all the statistics that let us know who's really in jeopardy. All we know is, oh, elderly, they're in super jeopardy. So everybody needs to be super careful because you could be asymptomatic and you could carry it to your grandma and kill your grandma. And this is what we're operating the whole country on. Do you know that our fatality rate, okay, for COVID, I won't even go into those numbers. They say over 100,000 dead. There is no statistical alteration of fatality in the United States with COVID. You look at the statistics, what's happened is all these deaths All these categories are way down, like good things like the flu, gone. Everything's getting dumped over here in the COVID dumpster. The actual fatality rate in America year to date is down by like 37%. In other words, 37% less people have died this year in America than in years prior. Is that a pandemic? No, it's a scamdemic, and we're all being put together and had. Is it ironic that they use the lockdowns to get everybody all amped up and they have riots? And I mean, let's be truthful. These liberal governors and mayors that just stand back, they literally, it's not just that they support these radicals. They don't even know what to do. They're just like nullified. They stand there with this, I think I'm supposed to say this. I think I'm supposed to say it's just a fun, loving bunch of people, you know. No. It's absolute lawlessness, and they don't know how to govern. They shouldn't govern. They're being elected based on whacked out ideology when our founders, you know, applying to president, of course, said we need either experienced business people or military people. That's obviously at the presidential level. But whether it's running a city, a state, or whatever it is, you got to be capable. And that's the problem with politics. The media takes those people that they don't like and they just shred them to death. It is brutal. Lies and huge millions of dollars come out, and they do everything to character assassinate these people. They're not looking out for the people's best interest. They're looking out for their own radical left-wing agenda. Why? I personally don't understand it. I like to think I'm logical, you know? So anyway, this whole COVID thing, if this economy continues to fall apart as we approach the election in November, the thinking is that they're going to make Trump look bad, and they'll make it more likely that people will cast a vote for Democrats. I can't even imagine. Biden can only win through fraud. I'll put it there. And they say there's also the possibility, and I think the high likelihood, that this thing will backfire in a huge way for the left. If millions of Americans start, and I hope they are, starting to identify the Democrats as the party of what? Lockdowns, the cancel culture, violence, vandalism, destruction, ignorance, theft, you know, hatred, racism. It's not the conservatives that are creating racism. The left is feeding this racism. They're the ones making it. You know, if we've got a problem with our justice system, let's fix it. But this white against black thing, I just don't like it. And I'm sorry to say it, but I mean, they set you up not to opinionate on it or opine. They set it up to cause you to dumb down, to just put your head down and be quiet. That's what they're trying to do. They've got this, you know, reparations bill for the slaves. You know the amount of money they want? More money than there is in the whole world. That's what they want. It's like little kids playing in their fort. I'm going to sue you for all the money in the whole wide world. I mean, that's what they're doing. Well, what's the point? Well, they'll settle somewhere in the middle. Well, will they? I mean, can you imagine that? It comes out to just some astronomical amount for every African American. You go back in history, it's like a fraction of 1% of existing American citizens had relatives that owned slaves. How about the fact that you go back in time and find out that Obama's relatives on both sides owned slaves? How about you find out that Democrats were the big slave owners? They were the South, primarily. I mean, folks, they've captured, they can steal whatever they want, you know. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. They'll steal. The Republicans are the ones that freed the slaves. Well, this nation is the nation that freed the African. We can't say abolish slavery because there's still all kinds of sex trafficking and terrible things, but we made it not cool and punishable by law in a lot of cases. There's always a long way to go because evil, Satan hates God's creation. And he will possess groups of people to do things that are so far beyond. And it's always done through fear and intimidation. And then it goes downhill. Hitler was a classic, you know. And so we're always going to have that. But this nation, for these people to stamp on the flag and burn it. When I was a kid, that was treason. Now it's just freedom of speech. What is sacred? I mean, what one sacred thing should we have? The American flag. I mean, that should be enough. You know, we're at a point now that we watch Iran do it. It doesn't even faze us. So I'm hoping that this thing will backfire for the left. If millions of Americans start to identify the Dems, like I said, the party of lockdowns and cancel culture and all this stuff, let's hope it gets us going the right way. But you know what the problem is? The problem is this stuff's not going to stop. This stuff is out of control. We have literally, I remember Obama used to say we have a constitutional crisis. No, we didn't, but we do now. When you have the First Amendment protecting your right to free speech, Second Amendment protecting your right to bear arms, Fourth Amendment, your right not only to protection from illegal search and seizure, but to be secure in your person, of all your personal effects, your health and everything. That's what it means. It's what it says, actually. You are to be secure. They can't tell you to put on a mask. This thing really started losing ground. Well, the immunization thing they've pushed, but I'll tell you, there's things that happen. This is why I get a little libertarian on things. The DUI laws. You have to, they can force you to take a blood test. Not if you've caused an accident or anything. Well, you're like, well, yeah, DUIs are bad. Yeah, so are drugs, and so is every, you know, there's all kinds of bad stuff. But you know what? We have to honor liberty. We just have to. There's times it's going to be really inconvenient. There's times it's going to be ugly. There's times we're going to hate it. There's times, but you know what? In the long run, it's so powerful. Maintaining our liberty, maintaining our freedom, that's what we fight for. And why? Because each and every one of us has a unique set of giftings from God that we have got to have the open liberty to exercise and grow into. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Declaration of Independence. How can you pursue happiness when you're locked down? How can you pursue happiness when you're unemployed and broke? How can you pursue happiness as a business owner when the government is shutting you down, saying it's for the greater utilitarian good of our society? Life, don't even need to go there. I mean, it's interesting, that's the first thing they say. Life, and we've got this abortion thing that never ends. Liberty's obvious. And then, you know, like I said, the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness means that your right and ability to be the best you there is. That's what this country's based on, and that's what's being stripped away. I really have heard a lot of people on the left that are going towards the right, okay? It doesn't mean they all are. It doesn't mean some aren't going the other way. I've just seen more of it than I've ever heard. They're just tired of it. They're just tired. And the left, I don't know. I just think it. They think if they just beat you and beat you and beat you, which is, isn't it just that same old communistic mentality? Hey, if you don't agree with us, we're going to lock you in a cell and we're going to beat you and torture you until you comply. Well, this is what they're doing to society. We're going to lock you down, take away your income, take away your freedom, strip away your joy, cause all kinds of frustrations. But no, we're not going to hinder the right to protest, which really means the right to vandalize and destroy, which isn't what it's meant to be. But there, you know, this is the logic. I mean, in China, if you're Christian in a lot of provinces, they lock you up and torture you, and you know, they think it's a mental disorder. Well, I think I would say the left thinks the right's a mental disorder. I think liberalism's a mental disorder. Great. We have a fundamental disagreement there. The difference is they literally believe they're right, and we don't have a right to our own opinion. They believe they have a right to shut it down. You know, and then they make this thing a political mess. And I know I'm kind of bouncing off the walls there a little bit, like we're in a big old racquetball court, but these are the facts. At this point, I think at least, you know, the battle lines are becoming clearer. It appears that Trump and other Republicans are against further lockdowns, but the Democratic politicians in, you know, all over the country are instituting them anyway. And then what do? They destroy their economy and demand, Donald Trump, you owe me money. I mean, this stuff's really not, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But people don't know the Constitution. These kids are not coming out of school. They have no knowledge. They don't know what this country's about. They don't know who's fought, bled, and died. The teachers, where are we getting these people? And then with this, school at home thing, we're bringing in some kind of a government curriculum that's circumrouting it around the teachers so that these good teachers aren't even seeing it. And these kids are getting peddled some pretty heavy stuff. It's something I wish I had a little more data on. I'd cover it here. But so anyway, let's assume the battle lines are getting clear. And let's assume the conservatives are against it. And, you know, the Dems are jamming it through anyway. And how about that all schools in L.A., San Diego, Atlanta, and Nashville will be closed at the beginning of the new school year? They've already kissed that one off. It says, resisting pressure from President Donald Trump, three of the nation's largest school districts said Monday they'll begin the new school year with all students learning from home. Schools in Los Angeles, San Diego, and Atlanta will begin entirely online. Officials said Monday. Schools in Nashville plan to do the same at least through Labor Day. All of this so that you can't go to the polls. All of this to protect. This you want corruption at the deepest core? This is one of the primary drivers behind this, is just so Biden never has to face Trump in a debate. They're going to keep him in a bubble. I don't know if you guys have heard about deep fakes. They make videos now. They can take a person's everything and make them say or do whatever they want. Well, if Biden agrees, they can take his voice, his body, and they can make him stand there and turn him into the most eloquent speaker you've ever heard in your life. Prepare for that one. Prepare for television productions on MSNBC or CNN. With an hour of either Biden giving the most eloquent, phenomenal speech you've ever seen, or answering questions from afar. Never mind that it was pre-recorded, and never mind that it's really pre-recorded, because it's all fake. Could they fool us this way? Do we live in this era where deep fakes could actually determine or influence the next election? How about collusion and corruption? Would you say that might be a little bit of that? Wow. To a thief, everyone's a thief. Chinese proverb. Think about it. So to the flesh. From the flesh reap corruption. They think everyone's corrupt. We've got Gavin Newsom announcing, you know, I've got all this stuff. I don't need to go over here right now. You guys know what's going down. It's all fake. It's all phony. It's all designed to deceive. And literally, like I said, our economy is going down the tankaroos. This is not a reversible thing. The U.S. budget deficit surged to a record $864 billion just in June, okay? $864 billion in the tank just in June. That's a lot of money. That's $10 trillion a year. I was talking at the beginning of the show. Rates are through the floor. You can't, you know, you can't go below zero hypothetically. There's a debate there that things just get reckless. Money's cheap. They're pumping it out like crazy. They want you on a cashless system. They want to control you everywhere you go. And they want to force you. They want to steal America. This is a theft of America. A theft of who we are and what we stand for. And we're doing it. The media, the First Amendment protected institution, is doing it. I'm not impressed with Fox News. They're halfway, they're lukewarm. They're just pro-Republican and they just ramble the same stuff. Nobody can do anything controversial. Along these lines, there's another thing I didn't get to. Ron Paul came out with about our economic collapse that lies ahead. It's going to be ugly. Metals are strong. Silver's on a roll, it's alive and well. Folks, I'll say it again. Get some money, get your money, whatever, get it secured. You can still take out up to $100,000 out of a 401k or IRA with no penalties and have 3 years to pay the taxes and split into thirds. So I would say just do it. We'll help you get secured. If there's ever been a time, I'm telling you, we are only going. If Trump wins, it goes crazy. If Biden wins, it goes bad. Trump, final overriding factor and resource. I'd say hit your knees. Save your money and hit your knees. And yes, God does honor those who honor him. And I've mentioned it before. You want two nice Morgans? Go do three nice reviews on our company, business related, that you've done. Like Facebook, Google, Yelp, and call us. We'll verify. You get two nice Morgan dollars. That's a heck of a value. Your time can't be worth that much. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless. Have a great night. Bye-bye.